Antioch. What is Antioch all about? I'm going to give you just a little bit of testimony about me, how things got going. We'll probably start taping this next week.
Okay.
Good. So we'll go through it then. We'll try to make sure that we tape every week so that you guys can have copies. We'll burn off CDs for you so that you can have it. You can go back over. Because it's so important if you miss a week to be able to get that previous week so you can listen to it. Mark, don't we already have the whole thing done in some of the other classes?
From about 3 years ago, we have a whole class. So we could go back to that, but we want to get current information because there's always something.
Are you saying the class is evolving?
It's great.
Oh. I can't remember what I said last year. You're going to be absolutely amazed at the opportunities we're going to have as we go through. Now, I guess I better look at this real quick. If you would look at page 2, can someone tell me there are 8 different sections that we're going to go through this year? Can someone tell me what the sections are called?
Phases.
Can I have an amen from somebody? Phases. It used to be week 1, week 2, week 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. But I hate to be limited to a week when I know I got an inquisitive mind that wants to explore the gospel and the word of God. So it went to week 10, week 11. So I just said, you know what, people see that and all of a sudden they get scared. So let's do an east side word, phase. Don't tell you how many weeks each phase would take, but I mean, don't that sound better than week 16? don't that encourage you more? Well, we're never going to get out of here. We'll be praying over. Spending time with the pastor for 10 weeks. Okay, back to phase 1. Antioch, our acrostic. This is what we believe. This is what we live. This is what we want. Talk. This is what we want. The world to know what Antioch is all about. Our acrostic. When I get through with these 2 pages, then it's going to be your opportunity to talk. Go through introduction. So if I'm going to have to introduce myself and give you a little testimony how Antioch got going. Then you're going to have to tell me your name, how long you've been attending the church, and how you found out about it, and what made you come. How about that? That'd be all right? That'll give you a little time to think. Antioch. A stands for what? All members ministry. There is no such thing as a member of Antioch that is not serving in the ministry. You cannot join the church and not sign up for a ministry. We have a lot of people that attend Antioch, but everyone that goes through the new members class and become a member has to sign up to serve. You do not become a member of a church to sit around and let someone else serve you. That is not biblical. And anything that's not biblical, we try not to live here at Antioch. Pretty simple. All of us are ministers. Some are paid. Some are not. Some are paid to be good. Others are good for nothing. Can I have an amen on that? So that's what it's all about when you're talking about a church. All members ministry. That's what we're going to push. And that's why when you go to this class, you say, I agree with what is being taught at this class. I want to join. Bam. Then you have to sign up for a ministry. Pretty simple. All right. The N. What does N stand for? New Testament model. What is a New Testament model? I mean, that sounds good. Put those 3 words together. New Testament model. What is a New Testament model? Anyone have any idea what a New Testament model is and what we want here in Antioch?
Small groups and homes.
Small groups and homes.
Modeling Jesus.
Cross-cultural.
The New Testament model is a church that gathers and scatters. Gathers, scatters. Most churches gathers. They want to do what it's going to take to be inside, and very suddenly they get out there and really influence society outside the four walls. What's the use of learning something from Christ if you can't take it out from where you learned it and share it and live, work that way? You're going to see as we go through this that those are all the things we want to do in the New Testament. We want to not only learn on Sundays and Wednesdays and our small groups, but we want to take what we learn and implement it into what we do every day. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? God wants us to be the salt of the earth. What does that mean as a church? Is that a gathering issue or a scattering issue? Scattering issue after you've gathered. So what is the purpose of being the salt in the New Testament church?
Salt in the womb.
Season the world.
Salt in the womb is good. It burns, but it preserves. It cleanses.
Salt flavors things.
Salt gives flavor. Hard arteries. You know, I'm amazed. I saw a greatest sign the other day. I'm just looking at my close friend Dave Bryant that just passed away yesterday. You talking about perfect physical condition. Absolutely perfect. The guy, all of his life has been the epitome of health. And he's playing basketball yesterday and had a heart attack and died. God's timing. Congenital heart. Passed down by his family. I mean, it's unbelievable how God is in control. But the greatest sticker I've ever seen is get plenty of rest, eat correctly, drink the right things, and then die anyway. Is that an eternal optimism? Was. Yeah, right. Excuse me, I shouldn't and make you guys feel bad about your tofu you eat. I think tofu was created just for other people who don't have anything to do to have something to do. Can I have an amen? Tastes like low tide. Just kidding. All right. What is this salt stuff? What is that New Testament model? We're going to learn that. Do you guys know that every aspect of what we do in the Christian life and being preserved, holding that all members ministry, being that New Testament model that God has called us to be, do you know every bit of it is based upon God's relationship to God? What is the only perfect relationship in the world?
Relationship with God.
What is the only perfect relationship in the world? In the universe. Global.
Trinity.
The Trinity. God's relationship to God is perfect. If it is perfect, then everything we got to do has got to be based off of the perfect relationship of God. Even in our relationship class, I teach new members class, I teach biblical teaching. Everything is based off of God's relationship to God. Because that's the only perfect thing. That's our goal. So when we talk about being, we got to do what God did to God. We got to be to God what God is to God. That's why Jesus had to die for us, to make us righteous through him so we can be right with God. You gonna love that, boy, because we're gonna talk about the Trinity. We'll leave that here in page 2. Okay? So New Testament model. T. What does that stand for?
Teaching
the word. If we don't do anything else good in Antioch, if we fail in every other aspect of church life, we will teach the word of God here. Every class, all the way down to small kids, we do not just babysit. We train and we teach. Why? That's the purpose of gathering. Purpose of gathering is not to be seeker driven. You guys heard of seeker friendly churches? No, that's, you can't find that biblically. When the church gets together, it's for believers. When we gather, it's to teach those that are already here. And then you go out and get those that are seeking. We are seeker sensitive here at Antioch. We're not seeker driven. We're believer driven. Okay? When people come on Sunday morning, we're not going to spend 90% of our time on 10% of the word. We're going to spend 100% of our time on 100% of the word. That's why I teach expositorially Anyone know what teaching expositorially means? It's a big old college word that you wouldn't hear when you was growing up in my neighborhood. Okay? What is it?
Verse by verse.
Verse by verse, what more? What is expository preaching? Not only verse by verse, but what's that? Exposing the word. Exposing what is there. Most preaching today is impositional. Impositional means I'm going to impose my thought on those scriptures, even if it doesn't say that, but I'm going to make it sound so good, people are going to think it says that. Okay? Exposition. To expose what is there, you go to the scriptures as a baby, we're going to teach what the scripture says, and we take no prisoners in the aspects of shying away from certain subjects and verses. If it's in the book we're in, verse by verse, exposing what's there verse by verse, guess what you got to teach? It's there. Well, now, most of you have heard me say this. I like being what? I like being light. Because when you're light,
people give you things.
I don't like being this light. And if you go expositorially, preaching it, and then live it, and hold other people to it, guess what? People are not going to like it. So, I've grown to be totally insensitive. I'm a hard man. So we're going to do what at this church according to T?
Teach the word.
Teach the word. How about I?
Intercession.
Intercession. Do you know there's a lot of people pray but very few intercessors? Anyone got a good idea of what an intercessor is?
Praying for others.
Praying for others is not necessarily intercessory. Praying for others involved in intercessory.
Standing in the gap for them.
Standing in the gap for them. You're getting closer and getting warmer. Now get hot. What does that mean?
You stick to it.
Stick to it. Longevity. Endurance. It is allowing yourself to be used in such a way for whatever that person needs. And God can do whatever he needs to you to make that prayer for that person happen. A lot of us don't like that. Amen? Lord, I like them, but not that much. I just want you to bless them, Lord, so they can bless me. I told the Lord many years ago, one thing, God, I don't want to be rich. I don't have to be rich. I don't have to have a whole bunch of money. Just give me rich, generous friends. Can I have an amen, huh? You know what I'm saying? And then I can borrow their boat, and if it cracks, I can take it back. You know what I'm saying? We are intercessors. We're going to talk about that. We want to be a church of intercessors. Seriously being concerned about others and think of them as being more important than you. One of the things you come to our office, see on the walls, we always have the Philippians 2 up. All the way through the office, reminding people, think of others as being more important than yourself. If you ever want a good secular book that don't know it's a great biblical book, it's true. Somebody that was a Christian wrote it. And it's the greatest training in business book you ever seen. It's called Leadership and Self-Deception. Okay? Leadership and Self-Deception. If you ever want to know how to treat others and get along well, even in the family, take a gander at that. And when you finish that book, go back to Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5, and you'll see the whole concept of that book, Leadership and Self-Deception. Great book. How about the oath?
Outreach.
You see our short-term missions. You see our long-term mission. You see our reaching out to businesses around us. We'll take cookies to the different places and different businesses around us. Tell them, thanks. We just want to let you know we're in the area. I mean, it's just the outreach is phenomenal. Individual outreach. Group outreach. Evangelistic groups going out, neighborhoods, outreach. Most people know about Antioch because of the members. You guys know that? We don't do any advertising. We're not even in the paper on Sundays. We need to do a better job of that, and we are, but the majority of the people know about Antioch is either from some of our members who is not ashamed to say they go to Antioch, or bad news in the paper about your back. Can I have an amen on that? Back off now, back off. For the light here. So, it's outreach. Greatest selling that goes on for a church is to have someone really excited about it. And they're going to tell other folks. How about C?
Cross-cultural.
Most churches that you'll go to, you will not get the cross-cultural flavor, even if there are different people of different ethnicities and different nationalities there. Most churches assimilate instead of integrate. Okay? Now, if you're white and you go to a predominantly all-black church, in order to be accepted in that church, you got to act black to be accepted in that church. You got to start lacking black music. Got to start, well, I know it's hard for some people, walk black, talk black. So you got to assimilate into it instead of integrate into it. If you go to a black person, go to an all-white church, look at it. First thing he's got to do is he's got to start acting white to fit into that church. See, we call in the black community the black bourgeois. Esquire. Got to talk white. You got to dress white. You got to have white mannerisms. And another name we call it is you got to tum it up. Uncle Tom. In most churches. And vice versa. Doesn't matter. Is that what God wants? Because God says you need to forget who you are to be in his church. You got to forget the kind of music you like to be in his church. That's not cross-cultural ministry. And look how much we miss from one another's culture if we all start acting alike, dressing alike, looking alike, and have the same music all the time. One time. You can walk in and know what it's going to be like. God isn't boring. He made us. You ever looked in the mirror? That's some funny stuff. I crack up sometimes, man. I just walk in the mirror and just, ha! I have to laugh at me. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're in terrible shape. Can I have an amen for somebody? It is. I crack up at me, man. I love me. God made no mistakes with me. He made me exactly the way he wanted me. And we're gonna distill this whole aspect of you don't like yourself. There's no such thing in the world as a person not liking themselves. You know that's the greatest lie ever taught? The Bible says everyone loves themselves. You love yourself too much. The Bible never says to uplift your thoughts of yourself. The Bible always says, if you get anything about self, is don't think too much of yourself. Can I have an amen? Yeah. You see, it's a bad concept. It's an untrue concept. And if you believe in a lie and get caught up in that lie, you can never know the truth. Okay, you're looking at me. Want me to prove one point? Yeah. Want me to prove one point, biblically? All right. What's your name, bro?
Mark.
Okay, Mark. Suppose I don't like Mark. You got to use your imagination on this, but won't take that hard to do. I don't like Mark. I mean, I detest Mark. Can't stand the dude. Can't wait till I catch him in a dark alley somewhere. Whoop up on the little guy. Now, if I don't like him, but as a Christian, as a pastor, outwardly, I'm going to pretend like I like him. Go, bro. Can I do something? How can I pray? See, that's the outward sound, but deep down, I don't like it. So one night, Mark is coming from work, and an 18-wheeler runs a stop sign, and he's in a Mini Cooper. Bam! And he's mangled. Got him stretched out in the hospital, and someone calls me and goes, "You won't believe, man, Mark had a terrible accident." Now, what I'm going to do, if I outwardly, I'm going to go what? Oh, that's so terrible. Is he okay? No. Oh, that's terrible. Can I pray for him? You got to pray for him, Pastor, because he's just hurt. Now, outwardly, I'm pretending what? But But inwardly, I'm going,
yeah, I'm just having some fun.
Now, that's if I don't like it. Can't hear it. But you all agree with it. If the more I dislike Mark, the worse thing happened to him, the better I feel about it. Now, when someone says you don't like yourself, you should be the happiest when everything's going wrong in your life. I'm going to tell you something. You like yourself so much, you don't think God did you justice. You should look a lot better. You should not have to work out to stay thin. You know, all these things. Your hair should be different than what it is. You're always talking about what you deserve more. You are disliking that you don't have what you think you deserve. You like yourself so much, you're on your mind all the time. And the Bible says what you think about is what you love the most. Can't hear you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great class? Spend some time. I've developed that because it just kills folks when we find out that we have lied to ourselves for so long. Me, my biggest problem, like I said, I like me. I like what God has done. I like what he's made. I like being a man. Being a woman is hard. It is. I mean, I'm sorry. It is. I'm lazy. It's easy to be a man than it is to be a woman. Women has all the paint and body shops. You ever know that? Do we pay half as much to look good as women? No, and you still like us. Ain't that amazing? I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You guys got false everything to look good. And what does men got? If a man is ugly, he's just ugly. You know what I'm saying? You can fake us out, ladies. Go to the paint body shop and come out looking good. The only way a man can look good is horse keys. Huh? Horse keys and a long, thick wallet. That'll make anyone think, that's a good-looking guy right there. Why? Because of security. Oh, you trying to figure out what kind of keys I'm talking about? That's a very expensive car. If you look at some of the basketball players are some of the ugliest people in the world when it comes to looks.
Yeah.
And can't talk, most of them. Can I have an amen for somebody? Let's be honest. But have you ever seen ugly women running around with them? They are just, by the world standard, knocked out. 10 on the Richter scale. And the boy, look, if his looks could drop 1 point, he'd be classified as a cat. We're going to talk about why that works. Just as much cross-culture in genders, can I have an amen? As it is in colors, as it is in ethnicity, as it is in how we're trained, how we're raised. You're going to understand that when we go to the church. You've got to understand that. It's going to be a good church. Having fun yet?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the H?
Healthy worship.
Healthy worship. Let's talk about, what is healthy worship, guys? Is it worship that you like?
God-centered.
God-centered worship. That's based on the word. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a woman who is an outcast to the Jews, and he tells her one of the greatest truths in all the Bible. He never says it as clear before, and he never says it clear afterwards. But he says who he is, and he tells you what true worship is. He says, if you're going to worship me, you got to worship me in what two ingredients? Spirit and truth. We got a lot of church that's got all kinds of truth, but they are as dry as the Sahara Desert. It'll like stab me in the eye before I go in that place and listen again. Can I have an amen tonight?
That's right.
But boy, do they have a lot of truth. And then the other churches that's so full of the Spirit, I mean, they're just blowing the roof off the sucker. But you couldn't get a good Bible verse taught in that for the save your life. And God says, if you're going to worship me, if you're going to, your worship's going to be healthy, it's got to line up with what I say it is. Spirit and If it's not those two things, God say you're not worshiping me. I'm going to go with God. How about you guys? Huh? Good night, man. This is going to be a hard class. Y'all are boring. Heaven's sake. Yeah, I'm a funny guy, amen? Okay. We're going to run through the phases. Talk about a little more introduction. You guys not getting away. Phase one. What do we have under phase one? Introductions. And?
Testimonies.
You guys going to give short testimonies tonight. You know how you found out about church, how long you've been at the church, why you want to come to the numerous class, that kind of stuff, and what produced you to come in the first place. Okay? What's after testimony?
Overview.
History, vision, and what's the last?
Purpose.
Antioch Acrostic, you guys saw a good deal of the purpose. Okay? That's phase one. Do you think that all that can be done in 1 week? Oh, please.
One phase.
The reason why, usually, too, is because next week we may have 15, 30 more people in here that hadn't been embarrassed yet. And if you guys got to do it, guess what? Second week, they have to. Thank you very much. Oh, no, I wouldn't make you do it the second week. Bro, why don't you just go up and give an example to everyone else that's here during the first time. What you did last week. Then when we finish phase one, we're going to phase two and three. Phase two and three is going to capture scripture. Guys, have you ever thought about the Bible, the Word, how we got it? We're going to walk through every aspect of the Word. Now, if every week is going to be based off of the previous week, regardless of what phase it's in, then there's no foundation that you can have built unless you lay the foundation of what everything's based off of, and that is the Word, Scripture. Now, what is the only thing that's true about God? What is the only thing that's true about God? What God says is true. You got to get this one. It's very important for the whole class. Now, let's back up. Now, class, what is the only thing that's true about God?
What God says is true about God.
That's why you're not recording today.
No, this is just intro. He's got something going on down there, I think. Mr. Marco Polo. Now, you got to come to the conclusion that if you don't lay the foundation of the Word, and we start coming up with doctrine, and we start coming with everything else, and you don't understand how we got the Word, it's futile. Everything's futile. The Word is the secret to understanding anything we need to understand about God. Okay? And God, what is the deepest God wants you to get to know Him? What is the only thing that's true about God?
What He says is true.
What God says is true about God. Thus, what is in the Bible is as deep as God wants you to get to know it. What He has revealed in these 66 books, He expects you to know. And I want to tell you guys. Anybody else work here and around? Listen? No elders, right? I know it's hard to believe, but God would not allow you to grow at your own speed. God is not going to let you. If we grew at the speed we wanted to grow, we'd kill ourselves. We wouldn't be able to stand ourselves. Isn't that amazing? I guess not. Talk about Scripture. Then we're going to talk about God. Huh?
Yeah.
God. What better subject? A.W. Tozer said the knowledge of the holy. One of the greatest things he says, the greatest concept that the mind can comprehend, think about, hold on to, is God. God. nothing greater to think about than God. Just God. Don't think about nothing else, what he can do for you, what you want, what you pray. No, just God. It says, there has never been any religion that has allowed society to rise above it. In other words, there has never been a society that's ever risen above the religion it worships. And there has never been a religion that's ever risen above the God that it serves. So you want to find out what kind of God you serve, show me what you worship. Because you'll never rise above the religion you're in, and your religion will never rise above the God that you have set as the ultimate power. Whew, we're going to talk about God. Then we're going to go to Jesus. Of course, by the time we get through the Word, go to God and get to Jesus, we're inside the Trinity. So we're going to talk about the Trinity here. How many of you have ever heard someone say,
well, you know, I've heard that old age-old concept that if you try to understand the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. And if you try to deny the Trinity, you'll lose your soul.
Oh, heavy doctrine. Oh, my. I got a headache. You heard that? There's a lot of things God has revealed about the Trinity that you can't understand. And I'm going to give you, in this class, the greatest explanation of the Trinity you have ever heard in your life.
Yes.
Say, man, be smoking. But I want you to know, since it's not in the Bible, it's idolatry. But it's a good explanation. Can I have an amen, huh? How many pastors would tell you, I'm going to teach you some idolatry? You know, that's got to be a pretty good pastor that'll come and tell you what he's going to teach you. That's wrong. But yeah, I guarantee you, he's going to give you a concept that you can comprehend the concept of the Trinity, but you won't be able to comprehend the Trinity. Major difference. Okay? God gives you the ability to comprehend the concept of the Trinity. He does not give us the ability to comprehend the Trinity. Concept will be correct, even though it's idolatry. Then we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. How many people understand, really, the Holy Spirit? Most people still call it an it. King James is woefully translated in Romans chapter 8. Calls the Holy Spirit himself in the New Translation. Anyone know what it said in the old translation of King James? What's that? The Holy Spirit itself. It was woefully mistranslated. The Holy Spirit's not an it. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to talk about how each one of them has worked through history. What God did, certain part of history. Jesus Christ lived, certain part of history. And the Holy Spirit now is living part of the history, and then we're going to go back at the history in the future, then we're going to go to the future, goes back to Jesus from the Holy Spirit, back to God, eternity. Did everyone get that? From beginning to end, you got the Trinity working, back to the Trinity. It's going to be smoking, guys. So what phase are we in right now of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Which one? Did you say grace? Oh, phase two. Way to go, phase two and three. Way to go, girl. She's on it. Which part of the Trinity are we in right now in our time of history?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. What that means. Here we don't understand how to. You cannot have a go if you don't know how to live in the Trinity and constantly Christian job. Interesting class? If you can handle it, yes, baby. How can we get holy is? You have to wait for faith. Sound good, does it? If you are a depraved. How many of you understand that I had a big fat baby is as much as you are? After your wife. Sorry. Wives are equal. And it's private. What is it? Is it true about God? Can come because of what? Relationship with God. Ooh. What happens if man. What comes? Do you realize that the word eternal security does not mean you live forever?
According to the scripture, it didn't say eternal life means you live forever. What the Bible says eternal life is knowing God. And it takes forever to get to know God. Can I have an amen on anybody in the room here? Boom! Some of you guys getting worried there, wasn't you? Oh no, I'm gonna fry like a Jimmy Dean Purple sausage. After everyone is born, you gotta understand the difference between everlasting life and eternal life. When you are born without Christ, you have everlasting life. You're born into it and you're gonna live forever. It's according to where you're gonna live. Amen. When you become a believer, you step out of everlasting life into eternal life. Doesn't mean you never had a beginning or an end because you're not in Christ. It's going to, are you looking forward to that one?
Yeah.
That is going to be a hot tub. Bring your thinking caps when we get in that, because when we start dealing with eternal security, we got to deal with two concepts. Let me think of what those two concepts could possibly be. Predestination and free will. Are you guys looking forward to that class?
Yeah.
Well, if we don't hurry up and go any faster than we're doing tonight, he's going to be after rapture. What is the difference between God saying you are saved before you were ever born, and you are never saved until you accept?
It's your choice.
What happens if it's a choice in one, it's a choice, no choice in the other? The holy biblical teaching of eternal security totally eliminates the science of logic. We're going to talk about that. It is the only thing in the aspect coming from God that totally eliminates logic. You know what the science of logic is in the aspects of agreement and disagreement. We're talking about, if you're talking about the same subject, if A is right, then B is wrong. Or if B is right, A is wrong. Or A and B are both wrong. Okay? You cannot have A and B being right, talking about the same subject, saying the opposite of that subject is true. So, if A is right, B is wrong. If B is right, A is wrong. Or A and B are both wrong. Except in predestination and free will. If A is right, then B is right. And if B is right, then A is right. And both A and B is right. Is that enough to make you think a little bit, my people? I stay up all night trying to come up with them sometimes. Just so I can impress y'all. You probably won't never hear about that again in this class, but I impress you tonight. No, we'll talk about that when we get to turn screen. Phase 5 and 6. Ooh, my goodness. Church. We're going to talk about the church. What is the purpose of the church? You cannot understand the purpose of the church unless you know eternal security. You cannot understand eternal security unless you understand salvation. You can't understand salvation unless you understand the depravity of man. You can't understand the depravity of man unless you know what the Holy Spirit does to convict the depraved man. And you can't understand what the Holy Spirit's done if you don't understand Jesus Christ. You can't understand Jesus Christ. You understand God the Father, what he did. And you can't understand none of that because you got to understand the Word, because every week it's built upon the
previous week.
And the only thing true about God is what I said is true. And anything the man comes up about God that God didn't say is. And are you going to get taught any idolatry in this class?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I should enjoy this. And if you have the church, then there's an aspect of what you're supposed to do in the church. That's Christian service. How many of you always wondered about gifts? What is my gift? What gifts are right and wrong at this time? Because we're going to get into this, is what we get into all the tongues, the different gifts, charismatics. Evangelicals, we're gonna bust that up. And every week, every year we get into that, we open that class up for those who have a different view that you can bring with you. Okay? And it gets lively. We just walk through the scriptures. And I'm one to say, if anyone can teach me that what I think is wrong in the scripture, I would change immediately by using the scripture. Because I have no way. My way is supposed to be scripture. And if you can teach me through the scripture I'm wrong, I change immediately. right? But if I can teach others how wrong they are using the scriptures, how many times do you think they'll change? That was a very large charismatic church in the area. Pastor and I were supposed to get together. Here had a series that I taught on contentment. Just blew him up. Very strong charismatic youth church. We're just going to get together. So let's just get together every week and just walk through the scripture and see what's right. Elders found out about it and wouldn't let him do it. Are we more sold out to the truth of God? Or are we more sold out to the popularity of what God's word can bring us?
Why is it so hard to break these people that believe?
It's hard to break anyone that really believes deep down that they have the truth. But if you can show them they have a lie, that's when they really got to search what they believe in. And they'll swallow it. Hold it down and forget. We had one brother, we was going back and forth, and we was getting together once a week, getting in the Word. And I said, I give you this challenge. If you can teach me I'm wrong using the Word of God, I'll change. But if I can teach you with the Word of God, you need to change. Do we have that agreement? We have that agreement. Man, we started going through the Word, and it was just great. I mean, he was changing like crazy. And people was getting a little worried. They hadn't had a healing service for some time. So they decide they want a healing service. He calls me, go, hey, we got to have lunch. So we get together, have lunch. He said, man, you won't believe they want a healing service. I don't want to have a healing service. I said, well, man, you may have to stand up and say, okay, this is what's happening, right? You know, he bowed to pressure to have this healing service. Oh, they couldn't get Benny here, so they got Benny's brother out of Canada.
True story.
So they go to the airport just before y'all go all the way down to the gates, right, to meet folks. And they're there at the plane waiting, and everyone gets off the plane except the faith healer.
They go, wait a minute, he's supposed to be on this plane. Yeah, he made the plane. He is sick as a dog. The faith healer is sick. He says, Hutch, I knew it was going to be bad from that moment on. They finally get him off the plane and get into the car, get into the hotel, and he's laying up there sick as a dog, and they're pumping fluids down as you get soup. So the faith healer gets to feeling pretty good for the service, right? So they get to the service that night, and boy, the spirit hits him. See, that soup in the spirit worked for us. So he's just preaching up a storm. And he goes, he looks at the audience, he looks at this one guy, and he goes, you! The guy goes, yes, come up here. So the guy comes up and he says, God told me you got a bad back, and I'm going to heal. He goes, no, I don't. He said it was downhill from there. The guy walked off the stage, got his family, and left. God will not be.
You want to finish this verse? God will not be mocked. If you find out what the truth is and don't live it, God will bring it back to you. It's going to be embarrassing when God does it.
Something you will not forget. Can I have an amen? They haven't had a healing service since.
That got to be a little survey. That's why, if you're going to be in the church, we expect you to do what? If you become a member.
Serve.
All of us got serving abilities. All of us got talents. All of us got gifts. How many of you have ever thought, what is your gift? How do you find out what your gift is? Have you ever thought of that? You know how many people would take a test to find out their gift? They got spiritual tests. I had one friend took the test, and man, my gift is exhortation. I go, no, your gift is nosy. You just nosy. You want to be in everybody's business telling them what to do. Your gift is service. Now, why would I know his gift more than he would know his gift? You know why I would know? That's the purpose of the body. You get in the body, and the body tells you what your gift is. See? How many? Well, you're looking at me like I'm nuts. Back up. Because by the time we get to phase, what, 6, y'all going to forget everything I'm going to say tonight anyway. So I can repeat it and you guys think it's wise. You ever seen someone go out for football? Players? Every kid that go out for football wants to be what?
Quarterback.
Why does every kid want to be the quarterback? The low rat. Long green. Money. No! You the boss. Now, how many kids is probably going to be quarterback on a team of 40?
One.
You got two? One's going to start. Now, whose responsibility is it to tell that kid that just as tall laying down as he is standing up, he's not a quarterback? And the other players. Who knows real quick if a kid's really a quarterback or not? The other player. And the coach. No, son, you can be a starting all-pro running back, but you're not a quarterback. You can be an all-pro wide receiver, but you're not a quarterback. You can be all-pro center, but you're not a quarterback. Whose responsibility is that? When the team tells this person enough, you're not a quarterback, eventually that person ought to do what? Believe. If you want to know what your gift is, get in the church, sign for ministry, start serving. When people start pushing you out, you know what I think y'all are going to try to nurture? This is the church's responsibility as you serve to tell you what they see in you, and you start seeing what comes easy and natural. Isn't that great? But if, you know, most people don't know what their gift is because they don't get in the body, they don't stick to the body, they don't serve.
$5.
Is that a porch phone? Phase 7 and 8. This is the ultimate. How many of you, if you have met first time for this class, you're probably pretty new to the church, some of you, was here when I preached through the book of Revelation? Okay? Most of you have. That is going to be, that's just this. Okay. In phase 7 and 8, we're going to talk about eschatology. That's a big old college word for future events. Talk about all the Revelation judgments, all the things, and that is so fascinating. If you've never had a study in that, we try to have the last 2 weeks, Karen, 3 weeks, caught on how long we got in the class to go to this at the event. It's amazing.
Reading Left Behind doesn't count, huh?
No. We're gonna walk through from the beginning of God creating the earth till when God destroys the earth. We're gonna walk through the whole, give you a timeline. Right with the 70th week of Daniel's, how it works, where it falls. Talk about rapture, three aspects of rapture. Pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture. I'm so pre-trib, I won't even eat post-toasties. But I truly believe in the pan rapture. You heard pan rapture?
Pan rapture.
Pan rapture. It's going to pan out in the end. I believe in free until it don't happen. Can I have an amen on that? Then I'm going to move to me. I only got 3.5 years.
That's right.
But using common sense and the scripture, it's next impossible for mid and trib and post tribulation to be true. Okay? You got to understand that. That's so important. Using common sense and scripture is next to impossible for mid-trip and post-trip to be true. Okay, we'll talk about that when we get there. You guys excited about that?
Yeah.
That's probably just for June. Just for the barbecue. Okay. We got plenty of months. We don't have to rush. We got until rapture. And then after we get through the eschatology, future events, those things that will happen, then we would deal with question and answer. And if we have time, you guys write this down under phase 7 and 8. We'll have a class on teaching you how to study the Bible. Okay? Sometimes some people go, we ought to have that at the beginning, a class on how to study the Bible, so that we can work through. That may be an idea. Maybe something you need to do at the beginning. Okay? Any questions?
Comment.
A lot of stuff, eh?
You're going to be undoing a lot of years of bad teaching.
It's amazing, really, when you walk in the Bible and you start seeing that the scripture says, just a simple thing, how we taught that Jesus was crucified on Friday, he's resurrected on Sunday. It's biblically impossible. Okay? Biblically impossible. Why is that biblically impossible? Even with Jewish canon, excuse me. You can get 3 days out of Jewish canon, but you can't get 3 nights. Because you only got Friday night, Saturday night. They go, well, if you count the day, then you can count Sunday night. That's pushing. That is stretching like crazy. He said he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. Okay? So Jesus had to be crucified probably on Thursday before the Sabbath. Took it down late before the Sabbath hits. Because it would hit by 6 a.m. that Friday, the Sabbath. So as long as he's in the grave that night before 6 a.m., he's counted as a night. You got all day Friday, Saturday night. So that's Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And you got all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. Sunday counts. 3 days, 3 nights. But it just makes such a good sermon. It's Friday. Sunday's coming. Half the stuff is being taught. God don't even know where it comes from.
Tony Campolo.
10 hot potatoes. Oh, what a disaster. Any other questions? I can't believe this is the first time I ever walked through and took this much time to go through this part. But usually we always doing testimony. So everyone's got to give testimony together next week. So you don't have to worry about not doing it. You want to do it next week. Any questions on anything we talked about? Something you've always wanted to ask the pastor but couldn't get him stand still long enough to ask? All that kind of stuff. Anything? Any questions? Yeah, bro.
So you talked about serving ministries. What types of ministries?
We'll have different pastors and different ministers come in throughout the course and talk to you about different ministries.
Levites.
Big truck.
Big truck. Dodge.
What if you're already in?
If you're already in the ministry, why take this class? No, I'm just kidding. You already ahead of the game?
Not me. My husband.
Oh. So then your husband won't even have to worry about it anymore. The pastor will push you to get in the ministry. Get in the ministry.
He's been pushed into so many ministries before I didn't know him for a while. So
it'll be real easy after this. Real easy. You're the one I love. Especially as we get through with church, how the church works, how the gifts works, and how service works. Absolutely. The Word of God just convicts you so bad. Yes, ma'am.
I just had to laugh before because a long time ago I found out what I was right for because they kept trying to make me teach little kids. And the little kids were crying, and I was practically crying all the time. Finally figured out this is not right. I worked very well with you then.
It's amazing how the body sometimes want to make you what they want you to do instead of helping you find out what you want.
Fourth grade, old. I just didn't like those kids.
Fourth grade. Maybe in fourth grade, I didn't even like those little kids. Maybe. Taste my salvation. Get away from me! I don't know why these kids don't like me. Get on your seat.
Others? That's before we close. Yeah, bro.
I have one more question.
Sure. They usually got pushed on us. If you would notice, I mean, we could be involved with stuff every day in the aspect of political stuff. But it's the when righteousness is challenged, we get involved. Sadly, yes. Someone's going to tell us what we can and can't do biblically. Someone's saying what's right when the Bible says it isn't. You know, it's usually the one that's thrust on us, we get involved. Me and Carl are hate monger and a homophobe. That kind of helps you know. You know, I probably ought to get involved with it. That's how we cheer. All right, I gave you the opportunity. Am I that good of a teacher?
You're good, man.
Wow. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have. Thank you for what you want to accomplish in our lives. Thank you for this class. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that are coming. Father, what a tremendous time just to study what you said the world is all about. What you said the Word is all about. What you said you and the Trinity is all about. Father, what you said is the beginning and what you said is the end. And to be able to see it in an overview and a completeness, Father, is a phenomenal thing. May we never be the same because we will study this class and this class will study us. In your Son's most holy, precious, victorious name. Amen.